Hyung Nam, welcome again to the Omol Variety Hour.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you've served on the Portland Police Bureau's Budget Advisory Committee and have been very involved in community organizing around policing and specifically the police budget. Last July, the City Council passed a budget that took $15 million away from the Police Bureau in response to the Black Lives Matter movement and community organizing. What's happened since July with the Portland Police budget? And then perhaps we can talk about what lies ahead too, because of course this is a process and not just a cathartic moment.
Yeah. So with the decisions that were made, actually, I think they were made in June because the new budget starts in July. We actually made, you know, it wasn't as much as many of us were demanding, but Portland actually made one of the biggest cuts to the police budget of any city in the country nationally. There are a few that have made significant cuts like us.
New York and Los Angeles have made significant cuts, right?
Well, you know, Los Angeles is actually quite misleading because in absolute numbers, it's significant, but as a percentage, it's actually much smaller than us. So they, I think, cut $150 million in their police budget, but their budget is so much bigger that from talking to one of the organizers of the People's Budget LA, what we found out was that actually that $150 million cut was only a cut to the increase in the police budget. And in terms of, you know, proportion of the police budget that it cut, it was actually very minimal. So as far as the movement for defunding police, we're really seeing in this year's protests since the George Floyd killing and the uprising that started after that, we're really seeing a new movement here that has popularized really an abolitionist approach rather than calling for reforms that was mostly what we've seen in previous years. And after seeing year after year with struggles for reforming the police not working, now the demand has been nationally all over in major cities to defund the police as a part of a larger campaign to abolish the police. And I think just to simply say abolish the police is a little bit misleading. I think a better way of thinking about it is a call for reimagining or rethinking public safety. And really, the idea here is that the solution is not just the negative thing in terms of taking away funds from the police. The solution is to actually reallocate our public funds to address the real deep social issues and needs that we've relied on policing to address or misaddress for way too long. And so to address that, and I think that's really important because ultimately, when we start thinking about it in that way, we will see that defunding the police or abolishing the police in itself, at least conceptualized very simplistically, is not the answer and really is insufficient for many reasons. One important one being that really, the role that the police serve is what's really important. So it's not just the public police, but policing. And a lot of policing is actually done also by private police or private security, which actually can be even less accountable and even more damaging than the public police. So I think it's really important to think broadly about reimagining our societies and our budgets and going away from policing and really thinking about, you know, things like our housing crisis and think about really the ultimately inequality, which is what policing deals with in using force and violence to maintain unequal social orders.
And this seems to be a way of finding a strategy between, on the one hand, defund the police, and the other is defend the police. The police are bad or evil versus the police are overburdened, and how to understand the police not only as deeply tied to a history of racism and maintaining a social order, but that the police are being asked to respond to all kinds of social problems for Absolutely. Which they're not equipped. So this seems to have, it has more of a empathy for the police tone to it, to say we've set up this society, expanded police powers in ways that go far beyond the history of what policing has historically taken up, although there is that history of how the police are involved in repressing dissent. But do you think there's a difference in these kind of rhetorical strategies as well as actual organizing strategies in bringing people on board who are more ambivalent about the police?
Yeah, and I think it seems to be in flux, and I think there's no one clear narrative or movement out there. I think we see a variety of different kinds of narratives and messages, but I think there definitely are some clear narratives out there about the fact that we need to look at the role that the police play in society, and we really need to. And I think especially with this pandemic and the economic recessions that we are experiencing and will be experiencing for quite a while, that as we face austerity, even without the recession, I'm a public school teacher, and we've basically faced austerity for most of my, 20-year career as a teacher. And I think more and more people are recognizing that we are spending, not only are we just traumatizing and oppressing people, but we're spending enormous amounts of money on incarceration, policing, and the whole criminal justice system that do very little to remedy the social problems that the police are being used to respond to. I know that here in Oregon, we've had reports about the state hospitals that end up with unhoused people for completely minor offenses, stealing Gatorade out of a convenience store, something that costs $2, and them ending up in a state hospital that costs, over $1,000 a day. And then they end up eventually out in the streets again with none of their problems addressed. And in fact, with these experiences going through either these institutions or incarceration, end up out in the community with even more challenged circumstances as far as trying to fit in with our communities in terms of finding housing, employment, and community to be a part of society. And I think I think of examples of people like Jeremy Christian. I mean, he served time before, and serving time did not address the kind of problems that he was dealing with. He had even more exposure to racist gangs, and he came back out and ended up murdering people. This is the kind of system that we have kept relying on to address everything from our housing crisis and ultimately our inequality crisis.
What do you see going forward around both the organizing around this broader vision of a people's budget and a people's notion of public safety? And I know there was recently a a listening session of some kind that the city council held in late September. Are there critical times in this process for activists to intervene?
Yeah, I think in a lot of cities right now, they're going through their budget adjustments. And Portland is going through normally this fall, what they call a bump budget monitoring process that usually is not a public process at all. Nobody besides bureaucrats and technocrats pay attention to it because it's just minor adjustments of the budget as the actual spending happens. And this time, though, it is much more of a public process, both because the protests, these historic protests, have continued for over 4 months with the clear demand that we want defunding of the police. And also because of this pandemic and the recession that it's causing. Now, what we just found out from these sessions recently, actually both the state and our city government, is not having to make major adjustments right now because there's a lag factor. The incomes that are being not made right now will be affecting revenue for next year's budget. So it will take a little bit of time for this to really hit us. So right now, from what we've heard from our city and actually even our state, they are not facing major shortfalls immediately, but they will be expecting these shortfalls to come in to affect us for next year's budget. So, but one thing with the police is that they've abused their overtime so much with over-policing with the riot cops, the crowd control policing, with the rapid response teams, that the police are asking for more money to fill their hole of overusing their overtime budget. And I know from being on their budget advisory committee that they had already budgeted extra millions of dollars, expecting in this election year, lots of protests in November and after the inauguration in January, as we saw in 2016. But they already blew through millions of that budget.
So Hyung, in closing, this is an ongoing process that listeners and activists in the community will be following. What's the best place to follow the politics of the police budget?
We have a working group out of what was originally called the Police Reform Network that formed with organizations like Unite Oregon, Portland Cop Watch, Portland Metro People's Coalition, Portland Forward, and many others. And now we have several work groups. We still have a work group on the police contract, but we have a new work group on the police budget and defunding the police. So either through Unite Oregon or Portland Metro People's Coalition, people can follow what's going on there and get connected with the organizing.
And there's websites and social media available for both of those organizations.
Yes.
Unite Oregon and the Portland Metro People's Coalition. And we'll continue to have you and other activists on the show as we continue to follow this really important and central issue in our vision that a better world is not only possible, but necessary.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Hyung Nam, for being with us today on the Old Mole Variety Hour.